thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest State Representative Teresa Tansey, a Democrat from South Kingstown. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Let's start by talking about the violence this past weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the response by President Trump. The president denies he's creating a moral equivalency between hate groups and their opponents. But white supremacists like David Duke say they're encouraged by President Trump's response to the situation. Here in Rhode Island, Democrats say Trump has failed a key leadership test, while Republicans condemn racism, but mostly avoid criticizing the president. Representative Teresa Tansey, what do you think this situation means for Rhode Island and how people should respond here?
I don't think there's any response that could be too strong, to be quite honest with you. I think it's horrifying that our president has ceded his historic role in unifying Americans in times of crisis. And I know that from the people that I've spoken to within the state, it's exactly that as our response, as the response. He has taken things that used to be fringe beliefs and brought them out into the forward. You know, the dog whistle of the past, I think, is now proudly uttered from a podium that bears the presidential seal on it. I think we just need to unite and let him know, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, that that's unacceptable.
Maureen, there have been some Republicans like Mitt Romney and closer to home State Rep Bobby Nardolillo who've been more critical of Trump. But most Republicans seem to be walking a line where they're avoiding personal criticism of the president. Does this just come down to politics?
Well, I think it does. I mean, obviously, he's failed the leadership, as Representative Tansey has said. But the other thing, the politics of it is we know there are deep pockets of support for President Trump in this state, not only in terms of him winning the primary, but also at the University of Rhode Island. You'd be surprised to know that there, particularly among young people, I teach very large classes, and we have this clicker technology where I can ask people opinions. And before the election, I was really surprised that the number of people, I don't know who's saying what, but I know what the sum total is, who actually supported the president. I was also surprised among women, the number of people who didn't like Hillary Clinton. This was before the Trump presidency. It'll be interesting to see when I go back in a couple of weeks where these students stand now, given his behavior, and as what I see is a failure of leadership.
Scott, you're a student of history, so I'm interested in your view on this debate over statues of Confederate military officials. Some people say these statues are vestiges of racism and should be taken down. Other people say that taking the statues down amounts to erasing history. How do you look at it?
I think you could put these things in a museum without any problems. The scariest moment, I think, in recent American history is watching what happened at Charlottesville. This is alarming. These people, if you're a neo-Nazi, you're not a good person. An awful lot of American blood was spilled and treasure spent because of Hitler. And if your hero is Hitler, there's something deeply disturbing about you and your views. This is not just a passing political phenomena. The thousand-year Reich lasted 13 years. As far as history goes, slavery was the cause of the Civil War, not states' rights or some phony lost cause thing. If you believe, even in those days, they didn't believe in states' rights, why would they have passed the Fugitive Slave Act if they actually believed in states' rights? And if you look at all the constitutions of the states that succeeded, they all mention slavery.
Well, let's switch gears and bring our attention back to the Rhode Island General Assembly. The Progressive Caucus in the Rhode Island House of Representatives gained some supporters in legislative elections in 2016. Representative Tansey, you're a proud progressive. So did it make a significant difference in the bills that got passed in this past House session to have a bigger Progressive Caucus?
Absolutely, it did. It comes down to, I think, what the core principles of the Democratic Party are. And we gained a fair number of seats, close to a half dozen. We have increased intensity as well. So
what difference did it make other than the the progressives holding more seats?
I would say twofold. So both from the inside, the increased numbers, but the number of people on the outside, the citizens of Rhode Island, who raised up their voices. I think that Trump has done one wonderful thing for our state, and that has elevated new voices and the intensity of those voices to bring forward ideas. So some direct, you know, examples of this, I think, are the domestic violence gun bill that we will hopefully be passing this September. It took 4 years of us fighting to get the message across, and everything came into place this year. And it was the hundreds of volunteers who showed up each week to help convince my, you know, my mates up at the State House that this was an important bill worth passing.
Scott, we've seen the Progressive Caucus in the House wax and wane over the years. What difference do you think the stronger numbers make for the legislation that got passed this year?
I think Representative Tansey did mention a couple of things. It's true. But I'm going to ask her, how come the progressives aren't more vocal? It seems like when the speaker was upset and that big fight happened toward the end, the progressives just all of a sudden went silent, even though they knew it was wrong to have that frittata and hold up the budget. None of you, I didn't see any press conference out on the front steps of the State House saying, you know, please, this is wrong. Why? There were no profiles in courage, it seemed, among your people.
Well, I don't think I've ever been the type to hold a press conference on the steps of the news. I like to think of myself as somebody who works through consensus. I did have hours of conversations with individuals and the speaker himself expressing my concerns about the process. And our number one priority in the state is to create policy and to do the work of making the state run. It was a frustrating experience, absolutely. I just didn't scream it from the rooftops. I held what I thought were very fruitful conversations with individuals who actually had the ability to make the changes. So I don't think it's my style to necessarily be the one shouting.
Well, the thing is, I think there was a lot of politics involved because don't forget that those bills are not yet passed. We can talk about the success of the progressives, but we're not quite there yet. And my take was a lot of this business, the frittata about the budget, was really about what happens to the end of the legislation at the end of the session. And I think it was probably prudent for the progressives to hold their counsel because their bills were up for grabs. And so I think it was a political move and probably an astute one.
There was no need to get in the middle of it at the time. And, you know, I think there are some structural issues that can be addressed coming forward next year. I've certainly made those recommendations. But it, you know, to have everything come to a head at the end like that, I think it's ripe for some changes.
We're almost out of time here, Rep. Tansey, but I want to ask you about National Grid's proposed rate increase in electricity. It would be an average hike of 20% for residential users. There are some elected officials who are crying foul. The utility says it has to do this because of higher energy prices. Do you agree with that, or is there a element here of consumers not getting properly advocated for?
Yeah, I think it's all in the framing, right? Because the first headline we saw was 53% rate increase, and we come to now understand that it's between 16 and 20%. And then you look a little bit deeper and you see that the National Grid, the international company, is making billions of dollars. In fact, $4 billion last year in pure profits that are leaving our state. So I think we need to ask why taxpayers should be the ones bearing the burden of all of these improvements to the system that are necessary, and why the stockholders are the ones who continually reap the rewards. So when these improvements are needed, why do we always look to the consumers to pay the bill and let the stockholders be the ones earning?
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Rep. Teresa Tansey, Democrat of South Kingstown.
Thank you.